Wednesday morning, Politics Wednesday. Mark Mitchell's with us, along with Stuart Nash. Morning, fellas.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Stu. Mike, I thought you might have had some country music playing this morning.
Some who?
Some country music.
I reckon. He said, who did he say? Was it Garth Brooks he's into?
Yeah, Garth Brooks.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Sure.
I don't know about that. Hey, listen,
Mike,
I did
Mitch,
see
how are you?
Mark, I saw you walking several paces behind Simon yesterday along Lambton Quay. Were you running security or what were you doing? Were you, does he walk fast or?
We were talking.
He was pulling the knives out of his back. There were a number of them.
There was a group of us trying to sneak in the back way of the parliament to avoid the media scrum. And I think I was on the phone, but we didn't succeed. There was media everywhere yesterday.
Jeez. And have you talked to Simon post the demise?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I work quietly behind the scenes, focused on getting Chris and Simon together because, you know, they both have outstanding talents and skills that can complement one another, and they make a fantastic team in the top team. And so, I just thought that Chris emerging with consensus within the caucus was going to be a really strong, powerful start for him, and it has been. You can see the quality of the man and the leadership skills that are clearly on display for the country, and I'm not surprised. I'm waiting for Nash's text to say, "Hey, can I run for national at the election?"
I think you'll be waiting a while. Is Simon going to behave himself?
Oh, absolutely. Will. He's going to fully get him behind. Look, there's a great positive vibe in caucus. Members are coming back. The feedback from members is absolutely huge, and you can see you've got a leader that's been tested in the real world, right? He's held leadership roles in big complex organisations. He can't hide in the shadows. He's responsible for delivery and results, and he's used.
Hey, Mike, I reckon if you played a replay of when Todd Muller had been elected national leader,
no, it's actually not a bad point.
Words.
Your point is this, and it's a similar point that I made earlier on. One day does not a leader make, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. But I remember Todd Muller's first speech was where he was said he was running for the Labor Party, and he was at. Remember that famous speech? He wanted to run for Labor. not as auspicious.
I have said to Chris for a long time, you know, he's a bit worried about, did he have the experience? He's done his apprenticeship in corporate America. It was a brutal, tough environment. He can handle this. He's ready to lead. He's the type of leader that we actually need right now because, you know, we have a government that's completely confused and lost in what they're trying to do. They can't deliver. It's all about sound bites and announcements. And actually now we've got a real leader. We've got a real chance.
Well, you talk about delivering. Yeah, I mean, two things I'd say, Mike. I note that Chris Luxon said he's got a history of taking over failing companies and doing well. I think Rob Fyfe may have something to say about that. I think Rob Fyfe did a brilliant job at Air New Zealand. Talking of delivering, I'm actually down in Gore at the moment, celebrating the completion of two fantastic projects funded by the PGF. We've spent about $4 billion in our regions delivering on projects for local communities.
The Provincial Growth Fund, the architectural idea of who?
This is of the Labor-led government.
Of the New Zealand First Party.
It's who's in government, Mike.
Remember, you know, the New Zealand First Party?
How did that go for you? I did listen to Chris Luxon's speech, and there's a couple of interesting things there. First of all, he never mentioned COVID. The second thing that I thought was quite interesting was full of slogans, of course, but I suppose you expect that. But when you pushed him, Mike, I thought it was quite insightful. You said that you asked him, did you write your own speech? And he said, yes, I did. Then you pushed him. He said, well, I had some help.
Yeah. That's why I asked the question. Yeah. That's why I am where I am, Stuart. I get to the bottom of it eventually. What you must concede surely is that as an impression on day one, he's pretty slick.
Oh, look, he's better than the last four leaders they've had in the last 5 years. But he's got Judith Collins in caucus. He's got Simon Bridges in caucus. He's got Todd Muller in caucus.
He's substantive, Mike, and he's had to lead a lot of people in big organisations, and he's been responsible for delivery, and he understands that, and he gets
that. The thing is, Mitch, it's a political party, it's not a company.
You've used abortion, I mean, he's anti-abortion.
That doesn't matter when you're running a company. It does when you're running a
country. But when you say he's anti-abortion, Stuart, the law's been changed. What's it matter?
Well, because people's values matter. When Chris comes out and says my religion isn't important, of course it is, because people want to know what a
politician is.
But see, Stuart, I wouldn't have the slightest idea what your religious persuasion is, and nor do I care.
Yeah. No, but you don't, because it's not an issue.
Well, how do I know that? You might be a weirdo who dresses up in chains and whips and leather at home in the Hawke's Bay. I don't care. Because all I care about is how you what you do for the country.
That's only what Mitch does in Wellington. He doesn't do that in his hometown, mate.
And Mike, the reality is that this is what you're going to see the Labor Party do. Dirty tactics. They're going to try and focus it on ridiculous things like a person's religious belief. I mean, get over it and move on.
No, Mitch, I don't. I'm not focusing on that, but I'm focusing on someone's values. You know, he voted against abortion law reform. I mean, those sorts of things are important.
Of course you're allowed to have a view.
And hold me to account for anything I voted on a conscience vote. But people will judge you. They'll see what sort of person you are by the way you vote. That's what I'm saying.
I can tell you now, I know him well. He's a man of massive integrity that will actually govern this country for everyone. And he's got the ability, he's got the background to actually do that. He can actually deliver. And at the moment in this country, we're seeing a massive underperformance and we're seeing lots of rhetoric. We're not seeing any delivery, Nashi, and that's the issue.
What I did like, Stuart, with in the interview this morning is Luxon said, as regards the North and local Maori threatening to cut off Kerikeri and Pai here, he said that's nuts, that wouldn't happen under his leadership. Yeah, Prime Minister got asked exactly the same question yesterday, said nothing of the sort. She said, well, we'll need to talk with Maori, and we'll need to talk with the council, and we'll need to talk with the police, instead of ruling it out completely. And I think a lot of New Zealanders would listen to that clarity of Luxon and go, yep, that's for me.
Well, one thing I listen to is he thinks that police should be armed because of his time in the States. Goodness me, if he wants to see a police force model on American police, then we're in big trouble. The other couple of other things, Mike. I mean, some of the key slogans you mentioned just don't stack up. You know, he said we're failing the education. We've got more people into trades training than ever before. He talked about business productivity. I know for a fact, because I'm Minister of Small Business, we've got 27,000 businesses now using digital tools to operate. COVID response.
Okay. What he meant by education was, and I think you know it, is at school level, we are slipping behind atrociously on the global scale. We all know it. Science, maths, English is abysmal.
Yeah, but Mike, we've got an education system and a trades training system that is working. You can't come out and say your education
is not working. It's failing.
Well, what about this morning's stats, though, Stuart? This morning's stats. The facts come from this research group, The Facts. There are more companies in this country closing than there are opening, and that was only until February this year, doesn't even include the Delta outbreak.
Yeah, in a normal course of events, sort of pre-COVID and pre-global financial crisis, you have about 3,000 or 4,000 businesses closed every year in this country anyway. So businesses closing...
Of course they do, but more open than closed. It's a very rare time. In fact, it was the GFC the last time that more businesses closed than open.
Yeah, and we're in the middle of a global pandemic. So, and look, I accept the fact that businesses in Auckland are doing it really, really tough. It's the reason we've spent nearly $4 billion on supporting businesses there. It is a really tough time, Mike. We're in the middle of a global pandemic, and you've got the leader of the National
Party running
down our COVID response.
Grant says the economy's cooking with gas, and I'm looking at the number of businesses closing. There are more closing than opening.
Yeah, we'll look at other stats that will back up the Minister of Finance. But Mike, you know, when you have the new leader dissing our COVID response, and like as mentioned, we've got the lowest number of deaths and the lowest number of hospitalisations in the OECD. What would he do differently?
Well, I asked him what he'd do differently. He'd have the Tasman open, and he'd be doing the MIQ differently.
Yeah, he'd had the Tasman open. Goodness me, that we got Delta into this country because one traveller from the Tasman brought it over here, and we're in the situation we're in at the moment. I mean.
No,
yeah, we take a risk-based approach. New Zealand is not a company. It's a country.
You guys didn't secure the border properly. Just a couple of things there. If Chris was talking about the police having the proper tactical ability to respond to a proliferation in gang numbers and weapons that they're having to face every day, and we just saw two more police officers shot this week, that's a good thing. We need to make sure that our police are safe and the public is safe. So that's a really good thing. In terms of... illegal checkpoints, we've got zero tolerance for those, and we've made that very clear. And in terms of COVID, he's very clear about what we've done in our COVID response, and he's also been very clear that you as a government have completely failed us and left us in a position where there is enormous stress sitting inside the country.
Completely refute that, mate.
Well, that's right. But what we got, though, Stuart, is a contest of ideas now, isn't it?
And No, we have. As mentioned, he's better than the last four leaders I've had in place. So, look, there's a contest of ideas. He is a man who has been very successful in the commercial world. I'll give him that. But as you say, Mike, let's see how it plays out. But I just think that You know, when you look at things, I mean, Mitch, you're an ex-policeman. You know that politicians, and I'm an ex-minister of police, politicians can't tell the police what to do. I'm well aware of this. Chris obviously isn't, but he's learning.
We can come out, we can stand up for them, and we can hold to account the people that are meant to be leading them and looking after
Mitch,
them.
And you know, for three years I did that as a minister. You know I did that.
By the way, you're a good minister, Nashy, but you know what, Mike? The reality of this, Labor are terrified of Chris Luxon and they're going to attack him. They're going to make personal attacks and they're going to try and tear
him
down.
Quick question to wrap this up, Mark. What job do you want? What jobs he promised you? What are you going to do? Same as or something different?
I'll wait and see. I'll have that talk with Chris. I'll be happy with whatever I get. I'm just energised that there's a great vibe inside the caucus and we just want to take these guys on and hold them to account.
All right. Appreciate your time very much, Stuart Nash. Mark Mitchell for another week.